what could possibly keep us from growing. We noted some things that are very important things that must be done, otherwise we will not grow. Not only will we not grow, but we will decline. And we're talking about primarily our numbers. Of course, there are many things that must be done in order for us to grow spiritually. As we said this morning, when things are as they should be spiritually, it is very important for us to also be concerned with our growth numerically. This morning, we talked about the fact that if we fail to teach those who are lost, we cannot hope to grow. Not only can we not grow, but we will decline. We looked at how the numbers work out. We sometimes depend upon people coming to our congregation from other places, those who are already members of the body of Christ. And we see that as growth when really that's not growth in the kingdom. As we said this morning, that's just relocating the sheep. The Lord's church exists for more than one purpose, but one of the primary purposes is to teach the gospel to the lost, to bring people to Christ. Our goal and our objective in this community ought to be as great an influence in bringing in the lost, those who are outside of Christ, in order that they might obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and have the right relationship with Him. In the second place, this morning we said that we cannot grow if we are losing our children. It is a fact that many young people who grow up in a congregation will normally move away and worship in other places. It is also an established fact that a frightening number of young people who grow up in any particular congregation will ultimately become unfaithful to the Lord and will fall away. There is a rate of falling away that is far higher than we should ever be comfortable with. We need to work on the matter of retaining our young people. We need to be sure that they've got the right kind of foundation in the teaching that we give them here as a part of the work and the service of a church such as this. Then we said there was a third factor that we're going to look into a little further tonight. We will not be able to grow if there is a lack of unity, a lack of harmony among the body of Christ here in this place. As I pointed out this morning, let me quickly say that this is not a problem that we're dealing with in any kind of major way here at Redland Road. And I hope that it'll always be something that we don't have a problem with. But there are some realities that we need to look at. There are some facts that we need to recognize in order for us to maintain a level of unity and harmony that will allow this church to grow. One of the common threads that runs true through many small, struggling congregations of the Lord's church is that they suffer from a lack of harmony and unity among their members. Problems getting along with one another and an inability to work those problems out. And as we said this morning, when God's people fuss and fight and bicker and divide, and some folks get mad and leave, and others are glad when they're gone and refuse to forgive them and hold grudges and develop attitudes that just make everybody generally miserable. I can't think of anything that ought to disappoint God any more than for His children to act in a way such as that. Not only do these kind of things diminish the size of a church, when people find themselves unable to get along with one another, therefore some will leave and go somewhere else, the church shrinks in size. But those kind of attitudes leave even those who are left behind sometimes bitter and hostile, discouraged and cynical. And that is not an atmosphere in which the church can grow. Now, the natural result for that kind of behavior and attitude and treatment of one another just simply goes from bad to worse. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." I want to offer some very important things that we need to remember in regard to getting along in harmony and unity with one another as God's people. Number one, we need to remember that the church cannot thrive in conflict and acrimony. Acrimony is sharpness. We do not have the ability. The church is not constructed such that it's able to function well when there is conflict among the members. The decision to engage in petty fussing and bitterness and resentment toward one another betrays a sense of unconcern for the body. Now, it's hard sometimes for us to own up to that. But if all I'm concerned with is how bad I dislike you because you've hurt my feelings, or if all I have to deal with is my bitterness because I don't think you've treated me right, I don't have time anymore to be concerned for the good of the body of Christ, because all I'm worried about is my own selfishness. Sometimes it takes hard work to get along. That is a reality. We need to be willing to apply ourselves to the task of getting along. You know, it's usually the case that those who don't want to get along with anybody are the ones who blame everybody else for being on the wrong side. The one who doesn't want to get along is usually the one who says everybody else has got a bad attitude. Let me tell you something, brethren. There is not a single one of us who hasn't harbored a bad attitude at one time or another. Every last one of us is guilty, has been guilty, and probably will be again in the future. We need to understand that going forward as God's people is dependent upon the right kind of attitude, even if somebody has mistreated me. I am not advocating that any of us ought to lay down and be a doormat for whoever wants to kick us around and be mean to us. And I think you understand that's not my point. But sometimes we need to take another look and see if maybe we're being so sensitive we're not allowing anybody else any grace and any leeway in our attitudes toward them. It takes a lot of hard work to develop those things which make unity and harmony a reality among a group of God's people. Do you know what those things are? Paul tells us specifically what they are in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, that little word there, eager, kind of hiding out down in there. Don't miss it. Don't overlook it. Don't leave that one out. He says we've got to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it's all possible when humility and gentleness and patient forbearance is readily offered by every single one of us. Number three, it is very important for us to face the reality that when you've got a group of people, different people have different points of view and different judgments and don't always agree. And it may be that in a matter of judgment, we do understand that we're talking about matters of judgment. We're not talking about matters of doctrine. God has settled those matters. Matters of morality and right and wrong, God has said what He wants. But there are many things that are matters of judgment. And you and I will not always have the very same judgment, and we don't always have to agree. And there may be some times that you won't see something the way I see it in a matter of judgment. That doesn't mean I need to get mad and go home just because your judgment doesn't agree with my judgment. Again, now, we're not talking about matters of doctrine and morality. God has set those things straight. You know, there are matters of opinion in which we can differ from one another. We need to make sure that we don't allow matters of opinion and matters of judgment rise to the level of matters of doctrine, because they're not on the same level. We need to make sure we understand that there will be times when we can't all have our way. Number four, there will come times when we have to battle over issues of truth and error. Let's make sure that we don't waste all our energy on the little petty things, so that when it comes time to deal with the real issues of truth and error, we've exhausted all our resources. Now, I'd like to follow up that little list with one other list. And I believe we could call this list some steps to harmony. And here's number one. Accept reality. Accept the reality that we are all human, subject to hurt feelings from time to time and shallow emotions, and sometimes our nerves get right at the surface, and we may get our feelings hurt because we're human. We're on this earth. We're not in heaven, and we're not perfect. And so the reality is there'll come some times when we won't have the same opinion and the same... One of the best illustrations I know of this is recorded in Acts chapter 15, when two very, very good gospel preachers had a difference of opinion. It was Paul and Barnabas, of course. And their difference in opinion was over John Mark. You remember that occasion when Barnabas wanted to bring John Mark along and Paul didn't want to bring John Mark along because Paul had some ideas, obviously, that John Mark wouldn't be good for the work that they were doing. And they disagreed to the extent that they separated. But I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, they did not leave the Lord's work behind. Neither of them did. Neither Paul nor Barnabas turned their back on the Lord's work. They went their separate ways, and they each did an important part of the Lord's work. That's the second thing. They worked it out so that they could both keep working and they could both function and do what God wanted them to do. They didn't have to agree on this issue. They both felt very strongly about this issue. But it didn't stop the progress of the Lord's work. You know, the reality is that we may have to give in to someone else's opinion, or we may have to look around and find a different way to do this thing in order that the Lord's work might be able to continue. Number two, appraise the issue. Now, you know what it means to appraise something. When you appraise a piece of property or have it appraised and you find out its value according to the demands of the market, if you have some article or item that you get an appraisal on, that means that you have an official opinion of just exactly what it's worth. There are some issues that we may need to get an appraisal on. We may need to take a look at this thing and say, well, now, just how important is this issue? Is this something that we really want to fight about? Is this an issue that is really worth going to battle over? Maybe we ought to give it a little time. Look at it again in 24 hours and see if it's really as important as we thought it was in the heat of the moment yesterday. I understand there's some issues that won't wait. But many of the issues that ultimately divide brethren are things that if we slow down and take a second look at and look and see just how important is this, we may come to a little different approach. Give it a little time. Don't instantly react, which usually means overreacting. If someone walks up to you in the worship assembly and says something out of the way, you immediately grab up your Bible or your purse or whatever the case may be that you brought in with you, and you go stomping out and leave, what have you accomplished other than giving a bold demonstration? You know it. Second glance, it may be that that person didn't really mean what they said, or it may be that you misunderstood what they said, or it may be that I just need to be a little bit more patient with them because they've said things like that before. You see what I'm talking about? Sometimes we need to take a second look before we instantly react. And a lot of times that'll take a lot of the heat off of a situation. Make sure it's worth going to battle over. And then, if it is, go to the source. If there is a conflict with someone, go to that person face to face and discuss the matter. Don't go to a third party. Don't go to a friendly ear. You know, it's always easier to complain to a third party who will always be sympathetic to your side, and that's why we often go to a third party with our complaints and our gripes. If there is an issue that needs to be addressed, go to the source. Venting to a third party doesn't accomplish anything. Number four, be sure of your objective. In this confrontation, if it demands a confrontation, what's your objective? What are you trying to accomplish? Is your attitude, I'm going to get him back? Or maybe, I'm going to prove him wrong once and for all? Or perhaps, I'm going to straighten her out this time. You know, if that's our objective, if that's our aim in, quote unquote, settling this problem, then we need a new objective. The Apostle Paul makes reference in Ephesians 4, verse 15 to the matter of speaking the truth in love. Make sure we give credit to both of those very important ingredients. There is the truth, and the truth cannot be compromised, but the truth must always be spoken in love. And that leads us right into number five, which is be sure to behave. I'm here to tell you that's harder for some of us than we like to admit. Be sure to behave. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14? Let all that you do be done in love. There is one more. And quite simply, it is move on. You know, some things tend to linger. Sometimes we promote that. Sometimes we're not as ready to let things go as we ought to be. We sometimes feel the perverse need to hang on to a little bit of bitterness or a grudge or two and never somehow manage to forget a conflict, a sharp word. Let's move on. There is not an issue of opinion or judgment that will ever be worth the loss of a soul. And in conflicts, especially conflicts that result in brethren taking adverse action against one another, folks leaving a congregation out of anger and going somewhere else, those kind of conflicts cause loss on both sides. We need to be willing to move on and to forgive. What could possibly keep us from growing? Well, there are many things that could. Hopefully, with God's help, we'll make sure that we minimize those things that are in our way, that we grow, that we increase, we bring more and more into the fold of safety in the Lord's kingdom. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.